January 22nd was the 49th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, which made abortion legal in America, recognizing it as a right, albeit a one-sided right, the father and unborn child don't really have a say in the matter, do they? Some think it might actually be the ruling's final anniversary. If you look at recent polling, view about abortion by Americans depends on the specifics, while a question about late-term abortion will result in a vast majority against. More general question about abortion typically finds a, well, close to 50-50 split, sometimes trend more toward 55% in favor, 45% against, if there's any ebb and flow in the tide. As we wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to release a ruling in the Mississippi abortion law case, which all but eliminates abortion, the belief is that ruling will result in a progression toward the Supreme Court taking down Roe v. Wade. Some believe this could have been done long ago, actually, by arguing that the initial Roe v. Wade ruling violated the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which basically says if the Constitution doesn't include it, then whatever it is remains in the hands of individual states. So if abortion law is not a state's right to deal with under the 10th Amendment, why do states have their own abortion laws on the books and they're allowed to exist? Planned Parenthood is a leading voice supporting abortions, of course. Their focus is always looking ahead to protect what they call, quote-unquote, women's health issues. And I'm quite sure they want to keep looking to the future. Because if Planned Parenthood looks to their history, they'd have to contend with the words of their founder, Margaret Sanger. As you may know, I am a quote-aholic, so I just happen to have some of the gems uttered by Ms. Sanger. For example, greater understanding and practice of Planned Parenthood through the use of contraceptive measures prescribed by doctors and clinics will mean that there'll be more strong and healthy children and fewer defective and handicapped babies unable to find a useful or a happy place in life. How about this one here? We see that those parents who are least fit to reproduce the race are having the largest number of children, while people of wealth, leisure, and education are having small families. Are you catching a trend here? If not, let me share this one with you. A sickly race is a weak race as long as Negro mothers die in childbirth at 2.5 times the rate of white mothers, as long as Negro babies are dying at twice the rate of white babies, colored homes will be unhappy. Then there's this. Women of the working class, especially wage workers, should not have more than 2 children at most. Margaret Sanger once said this, "We do not want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." Then she pontificated on eugenics, saying eugenics is the most adequate and thorough avenue to the solution of racial, political, and social problems. In case you don't know what eugenics is, here's the definition courtesy of Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's the study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. Yep. Well, by the way, along with Margaret Sanger, Hitler found the concept of eugenics very interesting and encouraging, from the thick of it. Now, while some see abortion as almost religious-like, there are others who see it as a cult and actually break free from it